Your Money Matters, and I'm always excited to bring on Max Armstrong. Max, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, John. Good evening to you, sir.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite segments that we get to do. We usually do it the last week of the month. And okay, so how are we looking for September? How do we do on the harvest season? Are we done yet, or is it still rolling on?
We're just getting underway, actually. We're just in the early stages of the harvest, and we're getting just a little bit behind average in some areas, but not terribly behind. You know, there are going to be some farmers who want to let this crop dry down in the field a little bit, and the moisture content of the corn, simply because the expense of drying it artificially is going to be so excessive. I had one farmer tell me yesterday he's got a couple of buddies that are spending $5,000 a day on energy to dry down their corn. So I think there'll be some inclined to just let it stand out there for a while. Although, you know, we get very nervous about this these derecho storms. We've had these the past couple of years that can shove the crop down on the ground. So there's a tendency to want to get it in as quickly as you can.
How long of a window does a farmer have on that? And how do they know when is the right time? I mean, is it literally walking through and feeling the crop and knowing when the moment is?
Well, the grower wants to check the moisture content of the corn. Generally, the grain buyers want to have that at 15% moisture. And it's running a little bit higher than that for some yet, you know, up around 25%. I've heard reports of 30% moisture in some areas yet, but you want to bring that down. And if you're going to bring it down, you've got to do it artificially with a grain dryer. And that may be energized by way of natural gas if you're close to the line, or propane in many, many instances. And either way, it's an expensive proposition right now. Conversely, you know, if you let it stand out of the field and dry down naturally, you run the risk of getting caught and not being able to harvest it if storms come in. That's one thing that's been going on in this coastal area of North Carolina, Virginia, and down through Georgia. Farmers have been rushing ahead of the tropical storm to try to get their crops in from the field.
Oh, man, that must be a race against time, and they're out there till the last minute possible, I bet.
You're exactly right. Running around the clock. Generally, my farmer friends have been doing that. Now, they had a pretty good head start in getting corn out, for example, in the eastern area of North Carolina. There's a major production region right along the coast called the Blackland region, and they've been doing pretty well there. But again, back in the heart of the Midwest, if you're going to be out on the rural roads, watch for combines and tractors, because this is the go time over the next few days.
Well, that's good to know. We drive up in rural Wisconsin sometimes, and you see the signs for farm equipment. Haven't seen too many. Haven't been up there in a couple weeks, but now's the time to make sure you're looking where you're going. The Mississippi River, I see notes that it's lower than possible. That could have impacts on what's happening in the trading world.
Yeah, there's so much to watch right now, John.
Yeah.
You know, that's such a major navigable waterway and an export channel for corn and soybeans moving out of the Midwest to go to our overseas customers. And the problem is the low level on the lower Mississippi specifically. But you get down past Cairo, Illinois, and you go south, you know, they generally increase the size of the tows. They'll have more barges being shoved down there. But right now, simply because of the lower depth, they can't fill those barges as full, and they're also backing off, I'm told, on the numbers of the barges that are being pushed by one boat. And, you know, you think about the Mississippi being wide. If you've gone over it, you know, over a bridge somewhere down through there, or you think about St. Louis, for example, or even farther south where it's wider, in low water conditions, the margin of error is very slim. I've ridden on towboats. You get up there, and you sit there with the captain, and you watch what the depth actually is and the width actually is, and this guy doesn't have much of a channel to go through.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it is a matter of inches in some of those areas, and yeah, that could really have a huge impact. By the way, if you got any questions for Max, 312-981-7200, you can join me in being the quote-unquote dumb guy asking the questions about farming, because honestly, I had no idea that people artificially dried their corn, and I feel like there's so much out there that the average American doesn't know about what the farmer does, and I think it's so important for it helps inform our viewpoints. So I'm sure Max would be willing to take some of your questions. We'll get to some of those after a quick look at weather and traffic with Mary Vandeveld. Max Armstrong, I was reading a fascinating article about how the farm equipment market size is expected to grow by some $34 billion over the next few years as more and more areas are arable land across the world. Is the United States the major player in farm equipment production, Max?
Yeah, you know, generally speaking, now our companies that operate here are global. John Deere, of course, is global, all around the world. Case IH, which is a division of CNH, and New Holland, also part of CNH, their parent company is Fiat, but they market all around the world. So you see those red combines and green tractors and the New Holland equipment also in the Southern Hemisphere and also in Europe. And I'm laughing just a little bit because some of this equipment just got shipped into Ukraine a few days ago.
And, whoa.
You got a minute for a quick story?
Fur, please.
The philanthropist and farmer Howard Buffett, who is Warren's son, is a gentleman I've known for close to 30 years. Orion and I got to know Howard way back in the late 80s. And he is spending a significant amount of his foundation monies to help the Ukrainian farmers. In fact, I sat down with him for about an hour last week. It's going to be an hour interview that will be running on RFD TV sometime over the next couple of weeks. But Howard called the equipment companies over in Europe, the same ones that are tied in here in the United States, and he said, I want to buy every combine you have to send to Ukraine.
Whoa.
Yes, yes, that's a bundle of money. And turns out they were able to source 50 combines for him to send into Ukraine from Europe. And the beauty of it is, as Howard started laughing, and I'm laughing now, many of those combines were destined to go to Russia. So they'll
not
be harvesting a crop in Russia. They're going to be in the fields in Ukraine for the harvest this year. Yeah.
Okay.
Tractors, too. I think he bought about 50 tractors to send
in
there, which, you know, in the whole scheme of things, I asked him, I said, don't you feel like it's using a hose on a forest fire? And he says, you know, it is an insurmountable thing, but we've got to try to do what we can in our own way.
Exactly, right? If your neighbor's house is on fire, you bring the hose over until the fire department gets there, right? You do what you can in the meantime. Got a great question for the 815. They want to know, I heat with propane and have a corn furnace. Any idea which one might be cheaper this winter?
Oh, that's a real good question. I'm guessing the corn might be cheaper in all actuality. I mean, you know, depending on where if you've already booked your propane and you have your tank full, you know, I guess that's a different proposition, depending on what time it was you purchased your propane. I always buy it at the peak, it seems. But, you know, it's nice to have that option. I would say that. And I'm not real sure. I'm guessing, though, that the propane, given the elevated price levels we see right now, might be more expensive.
Okay. Diesel prices have kind of come down a little bit, Max, but they're still really high. And we know gas prices are going up again as well after falling considerably. Is that a concern as farmers go through winter, or is that less of a concern and we just got to wait until spring until that becomes an issue again?
Well, it's a real good point. You know, most of their supplies are purchased now for what their fall harvest needs are. Over the course of the winter sometime, they're going to be hoping that diesel price will fall back. In many years, producers try to purchase their diesel, I think, somewhere around Valentine's Day. But who knows? In this realm in which we're operating now, where nothing is normal anymore, the growers are watching it so closely. And what we're seeing happen in some instances, you know, farmers in recent years increased their on-farm storage for grain, John. And now we've got guys saying, all right, I need to be able to manage my risk by building on-farm storage for fertilizer, adding to my storage for fuel so that they can buy at the best level they possibly can and not have to buy at the peak. So that's kind of a new development that we're seeing here as farmers try to respond to these very high costs of energy and fertilizer.
Right. You know, we brought up a great point about over the winter. This is maybe the dumbest question I've ever asked you, Max. What does a farmer do during the winter?
Well, if you milk cows, you're working every day. Of course, we have still a significant amount of dairy farms in the Midwest, especially as you go into Wisconsin, which is number two in milk production, but number one in cheese output. And then our pork producers, you'd be surprised, within a 90-mile radius of Chicago, how many swine operations there are, pork producers out there feeding expensive grain right now, and they have to heat their facilities this winter. Many of those will have a very robust propane bill because they got to keep those pigs and those baby pigs in there nice and toasty and comfortable in those buildings. But, you know, so they're working to care for their animals and to make sure that They are as healthy as they can possibly be. Beef cattle folks, the feedlots, you know, we have a couple of significant ones within 60 miles of Chicago, and they're working all the time to care for those animals. Now, your grain producers, they have what they call a meeting, what I call the meeting season or the education season. Many of them are trying to improve their knowledge. They'll go to meetings. They'll try to market. They'll be trying to buy their crop inputs for the season ahead and try to increase their productivity to grow their yields so that they can do better year after year.
And Max, catching up on sleep would have been a fine answer too because of all the work that they do now. I imagine that there's at least a little of that during the season.
There's a little bit of that in the wintertime, yeah, but it's really a key time for marketing their crops and buying their inputs for the year ahead.
Never stops. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We can lock Max in there, and we got a question from Bill. Bill is on line one. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Max, I was just wondering if you're going to make it to Oregon this year to the Audubon Parade.
Hey, thank you for teeing that one up, Bill. Absolutely. I think this will be maybe, I don't know, I think I've been out there maybe 20 years to the Audubon Parade, and that's coming up Sunday, and I'll have the 1953 Farmo Super M there again this year in the parade. It's such a great small town festival, and I'm excited about it as always.
What was the name of the parade again there, Max?
Autumn on Parade is the name of the festival, and they have a big parade, and they have a lot of the crafts that are sold around the courthouse square, a lot of things going on. Actually, there's a tractor show that takes place on Saturday and then the parade on Sunday. Oregon, Bill, Illinois, the county seat of Ogle County.
There we go. Now the big question for Bill. Bill, are you going to be there?
I would certainly hope so. I've seen Max a couple times down there. My daughter was county fair queen a couple of years ago, and we got to take some pictures with her.
That's awesome. Well, Bill, you got a good answer from Max. And Max, I imagine you look forward to those each and every year.
I do. Mrs. Nelson brings me her fudge every year. She comes out of the crowd, and I can always count on Leona bringing me the fudge from her kitchen.
Oh, that's great stuff. Well, Max, you do great work. You always come by and answer these questions. We really appreciate it. Take care, and we'll talk again next month, okay?
I appreciate it so much, John. Good talking to you. Take care of yourself.
As always. Okay, let's take a break. We're going to have news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and we'll tee up what's coming up next on WGN.